Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Two elderly couples got together to share coffee and some conversation, and the first man, whose name was Harry, began talking about a restaurant that he and his wife had gone to a few days earlier. He was saying all kinds of good things about this restaurant. And finally, the second man said to him, "Well, what's the name of this restaurant that you went to?" And Harry thought for a minute, looked a little confused. Then he said, "What's the name of that flower, you know, that one that really smells so sweet and it has lots of stickers on the stems?" And his friend said, "Oh, you mean a rose?" And Harry said, yeah, a rose. And then he turned and looked at his wife and said, "Rose, what was the name of that restaurant that we..." That may sound like a strange way to begin an Easter sermon. Let's see if I can't make some connection here between Easter, an empty tomb, and remembering. During this season of Lent, we have gone and visited lots of the places of the Passion. We went to the upper room. We went to Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed. We went to the place where Judas betrayed Jesus. We were in the courtyard when Peter denied him three times. We were present at that trial when Jesus was declared guilty even though he was innocent, and he was condemned to death. And last Friday night, we went to Golgotha, where Christ was crucified. Today, we visit the final place of Passion, the final place where Jesus went and changed it forever. He went to the empty tomb, or we go to the empty tomb, a place of remembrance. In our gospel for today, Luke describes that Sunday morning when the women went out to the tomb to put some spices on Jesus' body. You remember he was buried Friday night late in the evening, and the women didn't have time to get their spices prepared before the beginning of the Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath. And so that Sabbath, that Saturday, they had to rest. And now it's Sunday morning, the first day of the week, and the women get together and go out to the tomb. It's Mary Magdalene and Joanne and Mary, the mother of James, who arrive about this time in the morning. To their surprise, that big stone in front of the tomb has been rolled away. Now, a little description of that tomb might help you to understand how you roll a stone away. My impression when I was a kid was that this was kind of a shapeless stone that you would try to pick up and roll. In fact, this was a very large, round stone that was about that thick. And it rolled in a gutter that was on an angle, and so you could roll it up and it would roll back down. That's the stone that was rolled out of the way. When the women look inside this tomb, it's empty. Jesus' body is not there. And they are understandably frightened and probably confused, because there are also two men there that they realize are angels. Luke records what these two angels say. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." This tomb, this place, is a place for dead people. And Jesus is no longer dead. He's risen just like he said he would. And then Luke goes on to explain what the angels continued to say. "Remember," the angels say, "that while he was still in Galilee, Jesus said the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise." Remember, the angels were saying, remember what Jesus told you in Galilee? No doubt the as a result of the journey that these women had gone through with Jesus down from Galilee, from all of the events of the past week, they just had forgotten what Jesus had told them. And then Luke reports, the women remembered. They remembered Jesus' words. They remembered that he had said those things. It must have taken them a few minutes to kind of collect their thoughts and remember what had been happening, because that's exactly what Jesus had told them. So they remembered Jesus' words. Well, how about you? How good is your memory? A couple of weeks ago, I was shaking hands with the folks at Peace after one of the Wednesday evening services, and one of the men came out and said to me, "You know, it's really good to hear the details of this story again, to be reminded so that we remember all of the details of Jesus' crucifixion." Indeed, it is good that we remember, this story of that empty tomb. So, what is it that we need to remember today about the empty tomb that these women found? Should we remember that the women could not come and put spices on Jesus' body on the Sabbath? Should we remember that there were two angels or one angel? Should we remember their exact words? Are all of those things important? I think those things are nice to remember, but the most important thing that I want you to remember is that that tomb was empty. Jesus had risen just as he said. Jesus had risen just as God had planned. Jesus had risen and conquered death and Satan, and he had risen so that you and I might be saved. That's what's important this morning. That's what I want you to remember. That's why I want this place, this empty tomb, to be a place of remembrance. So from today on, every time you think of Easter, I want you to remember this empty tomb. It was empty because Christ rose again. It was empty because Christ died there on the cross and rose so that all of us who believe might be saved and have eternal life. That's what I want you to remember about that empty tomb. Time and life has, and the challenges of life have a way to keep us from remembering what we should remember. It tends to make us focus on things that we shouldn't focus on. Satan would like nothing better than that we worry about all of the present problems that we might have. He would like nothing better than you forget what happened that Easter morning, that you forget that that tomb was in fact empty. He would much prefer that you worry about the things in this world. He would like you to forget that we are saved by the events of that earthly morning. He would much rather have you think about how you're going to save yourself. Perhaps someone in your life somewhere has convinced you that remembering this empty tomb is not necessary. They may have decided that it's not true. Maybe they decided that the whole Bible is not true. Some people might also say, "Well, I've never heard this story before, so you can't expect me to remember." But I am here to tell you today that these things happened, that this all is true, that tomb was in fact empty. It's true that Jesus is the Son of God. It's true that he did die on that cross to save the world because it is so broken. And he did that because we cannot save ourselves. Some people might say to me or to you, "Well, you can't prove any of this stuff." And they're right, we can't. But on the other hand, they can't prove that it didn't happen either. And so to each of you today, I say to you again, the God who created you cares about you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die on that Friday and to rise again on Easter and for that tomb to be empty. And all of this so that you and I might spend eternity with him in heaven. There was a Sunday school teacher once who was preparing a class to give a presentation. And she wanted to make sure that all of the students were happy with the parts that they had in this little play. And so she asked each one of them if they were satisfied. And she came to one little boy and she said, "You have decided to be the rock that gets rolled away from that tomb. Wouldn't you be more happy with a part where you have some words to say?" The little boy looked at her with a smile from ear to ear when she asked him again after that play was over if he was still happy. After that play, the little boy said, "Oh, it felt so good to let Jesus out of that tomb." Indeed, Jesus did come out of that tomb this Easter so that he could come into your life. I want you to always remember that that tomb, that Easter morning, was empty. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.